Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project, formerly known as For the Girls. We've got a super fun one this weekend in Monza, the Tifosi territory. Here we come. We are 15 races down this season, only 9 to go. So charging right ahead into the back half. And as we said in our Dutch Grand Prix recap, we'll be releasing our Italian Grand Prix recap on Monday night, not Monday morning. So just a heads up for that, just given the Labor Day holiday. We ladies are moving around, so Monday night. With that, I'm Tiggy.
And I'm Chessa. Okay, let's get into it. Welcome to one of the fastest and most historic tracks on the F1 calendar. It's Monza, the Temple of Speed. So since the modern era of F1 in 1950, Monza has hosted more races than any other circuit. The Italian and British GPs are the only races to have appeared in every F1 season. So lots of history here. And like I said, it's often referred to as the Temple of Speed. Drivers can reach up to 350 kilometers per hour on the straights. I think Lewis set the record for fastest average highest speed ever recorded. Okay, that sounded really bad, but you know what I meant.
fastest average highest.
And because of the high speed, it's actually one of the quickest races. It usually only takes about an hour and 15 minutes. So got to lock in for this one. It'll be over quick.
Yeah, very quick and snappy. For the circuit, 5.8 kilometers, 53 laps, two DRS zones. The lap record is a rare one still held by Rubens Barrichello in 2004. Lewis does hold the record for fastest lap during quali, but not during the race. So anyway, like we said, super fast, long straights, super high speeds. There's a high speed turn called Curva Grande, which comes right after the flat out straight of Retafilo Tribune. So should be some fun action there. Lots to look out for.
Okay, so let's get into a little bit of history since we said it's been around for quite some time. This track was built in 1922 and it was only done in 110 days. So what, like that's like a couple months, 3.5 months. It was financed by the Milan Automobile Club. So lots of interesting history there. It was only the third purpose-built motor racing circuit in the world at the time it was built, which is, I guess, makes sense for 1922. But think about that now, that there were only three racetracks at the time. Besides some chicanes being added, the track really hasn't seen that many changes. So it's been almost the same throughout all of these years. And due to the high speeds, it's been pretty dangerous. And of course, sadly, there have been a lot of fatalities, especially in the early years. 52 drivers and 35 spectators have lost their lives. So over the years, there have been some slight modifications to improve this, but it still criticized as being kind of unsafe for the lack of runoff areas, especially given the high speed.
The last Italian, which I think is interesting, to win their home Grand Prix was in 1966. So it's been quite some time. Andretti did win in 1977, was born in Italy, but did compete for the U.S. And a couple maiden wins. Vettel won his first ever race here in 2008. Gasly also had his maiden win here in 2020.
Wait, hold on. Would Charles winning here count as an Italian winning? No, he's like from Monaco, right?
Yeah, no, Charles is not Italian. He speaks good Italian. You would
think that's why I'm like, and he's Ferrari. Yeah, exactly. I'll count that as a win.
He is Monegasque. So let's talk about last race. What I think is kind of crazy is that Lewis was fresh off of his contract extension with Mercedes. I remember getting this news and literally skipping down the street.
Yes,
like, finally.
You Lewis has resigned.
Little did we know, but Sainz had his first podium of the season. He got pole as well. Actually managed to hold off Max for 14 laps, which was a fun change in scenery last year. We're in a little bit of a different spot this year, which is fun. But last year, this was amazing that Sainz was up for 14 laps over Max. Amazing Ferrari wheel-to-wheel action at the end. This gave the Tifosi in the Ferrari garage a bit of a heart attack, if you remember this. I think we were all on the edge of our seats. So in the last stint of the race, there were no team orders to hold position, and Charles just started going after Carlos to try and get on the podium. Huge lockups from him, lap after lap. It looked like they were going to make contact, some switchbacks, really close calls. But Carlos kind of equally threw everything at the defense and was able to hang on for that podium. But I think we were all like, is Fred Vasseur going to get on the radio and say something? Or
And he was still early on in the days. We were like, what is happening? Let's see how he's going to react. And how the race finished, we had an Albon P7 finish, which is pretty exciting for him. And this was Max's 10th win in a row. He broke Vettel's record for most consecutive wins. I think our radio of the week that week was, that's a nice stat. which is like so classic for Max to just be like understated when he's breaking these massive records. And then I think Red Bull also broke the record as the first team ever to have 15 wins in a row as a constructor. So Checo was winning at the time as well. And Mercedes at this race officially took over third from Aston Martin in constructors. So a lot happened despite, you know, the Max winning streak.
Crazy. So for the teams, Red Bull, I think the main question is where do they go from here? It's hard to fathom that they don't have the fastest or best car right now, but that's really what it's looking like compared to McLaren. And we'll see how Mercedes and Ferrari fare as we continue along the back half of the season. But Max does have a pretty comfortable 70-point lead in the Drivers' Championship, but Constructors feels wide open between Red Bull and McLaren. Yes. And Helmut Marko did say that the team needs to work harder or both championships are under threat. At this point in the season last year, Red Bull had 597 points with Mercedes in P2 at 289, which was literally over double.
Oh my God.
This season.
Oh my God.
Red Bull's at 434 with McLaren at 404. So only 30 points separating
them. That's huge.
And what I think is crazy is that Red Bull has not won for 5 races. That has not happened in so long. Christian Horner did say they're not panicking. They know they have an issue that needs to be fixed. And he also kind of cheekily said it's only Lando's second win, which is true, but also.
But still.
What?
Yeah, no, he's definitely trying to make himself feel better there. That makes it seem like, oh, we're not panicked, but it's only Lando's second win. Like, it sounds kind of panicked to me. But, I mean, yeah, I fully appreciate, like, the Constructors' Championship is open for anyone. But at this point, if Red Bull hasn't won in 5 races and they keep that up, like, it could get a little dicey for the Drivers' Championship, especially if Red Bull, you know, the car performance starts to decline or other cars are getting better. But if they get into an area where the car is unstable or unpredictable and things happen like DNFs and crazy things like that, we could be really looking at a big fight on our hands. It'll be very exciting.
They also have the least amount of wind tunnel time because they were first, or they are still first in the Constructors' Championship and were first halfway through the season. So their development time is definitely less than other teams at this point, which may make a difference in the back half, but we'll see.
That's what that rule is for. I mean, okay, for Ferrari. So the Tifosi show up big for this race. It's going to be wild, red everywhere, the giant prancing horse, the works. It's definitely like how the Dutch GP was very much for Max and the orange and everything. This is going to be Tifosi central. Like, and remember, we do have another race earlier in the year in Italy, but the one in Monza is definitely huge. And for the team, it's kind of two different fortunes for Charles versus Carlos last weekend at Zandvoort. But if there's one thing that we can take comfort in is the fact that Ferrari called Charles's strategy beautifully. They did a good job. It doesn't always happen for them. So I think they're pretty locked in on that. And I'm actually genuinely, I feel like I don't always feel this way about Ferrari because I'm kind of sitting on the edge of my seat waiting to see how they're going to mess it up. And my God, if I jinx this, I'm sorry for all the Tifosi everywhere, but I'm actually genuinely looking forward to seeing what they can pull out of the hat this weekend. I think it'll go great.
It would be amazing if they did well, especially at home. It just makes such a big difference. I want Lewis to feel good about going to Ferrari.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm rooting for them the rest of the season. I hope that they continue to improve. For Mercedes, the Mercedes "Do you speak Italian" meme was probably the best thing to hit the internet this week.
It was amazing.
Do you speak Italian? Yes, say something to me. It's like Autodromo Nazionale Monza.
I cackled. So I like spit out my drink when I saw that.
So good. So at the time of this recording, there's still no announcement of a Kimi Antonelli signing, but it is expected, and he will be taking over George's car in FP1 in Monza to make his Mercedes F1 debut. And as a reminder, he is Italian, so this is a big moment for him. We have not had an Italian in F1 for several years since Giovinazzi, so it would be big for them. I guess Lewis is going to the Italian team, and an Italian may be replacing him, so that's a little Italian swaparoo there. But Kimi literally turned 18 last Sunday, so he's officially passed the FIA super license exception, wow, which he never actually needed, as it turns out. But yeah. He's now 18, so that's crazy. He's still super young. He has tested older Mercedes cars, so it's not like he's coming in totally blind, but it will be fun to see how he does. And Toto was pretty emotional about it, as emotional as Toto can get, but he said because we followed him since he was 11 and a baby, a go-kart driver and a Mercedes kid proud to be in the garage to see him drive out in on Friday in FP1 in Monza in front of the Tifosi, having an Italian kid in a competitive car. I think that will be something that everybody in Italy can be very proud of. And then we take it from there.
Okay.
Very sweet.
Okay. That's foreshadowing if I've ever seen it. No. And I think we've kind of been like, why are they taking so long to make the announcement? But now, you know, if they've just been sitting around waiting for Monza to make this extra special and like extra momentous, I think it makes perfect sense. And I'm actually so excited.
I know. Watch it drop literally 5 minutes after we release this episode, which is always possible.
As things do. That's why we had to qualify at the time of this recording. Okay, for McLaren, they are on a charge. It's really unbelievable to see how they started the season and then where they are now. And like, I think last year was just good building for them to be able to make these giant leaps that they've been making this year. Like we mentioned, they're only 30 points behind Red Bull in the championship after Zandvoort, the Dutch GP. They're at 404 compared to 139 at this point in the season last year. So huge strides. And it's really funny, like the video, the picture that we posted of Alonso inspecting the McLaren car. I think people are just like, what is going on? This car is a rocket ship. It's working really well for them. But I think the big conversation, we kind of alluded to this a little bit in one of our other episodes, is how do they prioritize their drivers? Do they prioritize Lando over Oscar more obviously the rest of the season? Do they let them fight? Because it does kind of feel like they're neck and neck. I mean, you know, they both, I think, have the potential to start winning a lot of races. So how do you think the team's going to handle that?
Oscar is always right there, but I feel like he's just a baby step behind Lando over the past several races. And I think if you exclude the one he won, but that was a whole drama and having to swap them. I think if Oscar can take it up that one extra notch, that's when McLaren's going to have a difficult call on their hands of how to treat it. I think they'll let them fight until that happens. And if Oscar is really kind of chomping at the bit and right on Lando's heels, I think they'll prioritize Lando when push comes to shove. And I think Oscar won't have a problem with that, just knowing that constructors and potentially drivers is in contention, and Lando is the only one who's really able to be in that position to fight for that against Max. So I do think McLaren will prioritize Lando, but I also think McLaren has kind of shown time and time again that they're a team's team, and they're trying to breed team players and be fair, for lack of a better word. But at the end of the day, I do think that they'll prioritize Lando if push comes to shove. But they're not fully in that position yet, I don't think, with Oscar.
I mean, I agree that Oscar has a tiny bit of work to do, but he's really there. But I actually would be surprised if McLaren's been a team's team, and time and time again, we've seen it in the past, but they've never really been fully in contention for constructors and potentially the driver's championship. So I wouldn't be surprised if they start making these calls a lot sooner than we expect to prioritize Lando over Oscar. So we shall see.
I think they'll do it in a very diplomatic and veiled way, though. Like, listening to their radios in Zandvoort of walking the drivers through the different strategy options, being very deferential, like very cards on the table, I thought was interesting. And I think maybe is foreshadowing for how they'll treat the rest of the season with team orders and whatnot. But yeah, I think it would be silly of them not to prioritize Lando. I just think they'll do it hopefully in a very diplomatic way that doesn't isolate or ostracize Oscar, because he is crucial for the constructors' battle.
So important.
For Aston Martin, a little bit of a reverse of fortune. So at this point in the season last year, they had 217 points. They're now sitting at 74, which must be a bit of a tough pill to swallow for them. Alonso and Stroll, they had a decent weekend in Zandvoort, and it didn't convert as much as quali was promising. But I think they have it there. It's just not showing.
I think at this point, they're just trying to like finish the season in the midfield, and then they're really getting ready to go for 2026. Maybe 2025, we'll see.
But for Adrian Newey to enter the chat. Exactly.
passion, drive, and patience, the formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your beloved car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're looking for speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. They have over 122 million parts for your car. You'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And they have eBay Guaranteed Fit, which means your part is guaranteed to fit your car every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're about burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. So keep your car alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, friends, today we're talking about sleep and specifically getting better sleep. If you can relate to having trouble falling asleep and staying asleep and getting good quality sleep, then listen up. We are so excited to share a new product we've been using from Beam, their Dream Powder. Our listeners will get a special discount on this Dream Powder. It's a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. It tastes insane. I did it last night and I woke up this Monday morning feeling incredibly refreshed. I gave it to my little sister and she loved it too. They also have amazing flavors, sea salt caramel, brownie batter, vanilla chai, and then of course the original flavor, cinnamon cocoa. It's been tested for high quality efficacy and formulated to ease your body into rest, supporting all four stages of the sleep cycle to help you stay asleep longer and fall asleep faster. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. If you want to try the best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject for up to 40% off.
Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1AreTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1AreTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1AreTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1AreTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply.
We have been very busy lately and have been really trying to do everything we can to feel our best as we wind up the summer and head into a very busy fall. And one thing we've been doing to help us and support us is using our Happy Mammoth products, especially Estro Control. It helps to support our hormones and alleviate any of those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. And it also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health. Happy Mammoth also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromise when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1AreTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1AreTheGirls for 15% off today.
For V-Carb, I think from the Dutch GP, they didn't have a great strategy from the team for Yuki, but Danny ended up having pretty decent race, making up 1 point from starting in P13 and finishing P12. Still no points, but not terrible. And on the bright side, they did get the fastest pit stop of the Dutch GP, which is exciting for them. But I will counter that or caveat that by saying it was a pretty slow pit stop race in general. But good for them. If only there was points for that.
For Williams, big news this week. Logan Sargeant will no longer be racing for the team. He will be replaced by Franco Colapinto, the F2 Argentinian driver. I think we're still processing the news and what all that means. We actually recorded the preview before this news dropped, and we were having this exact conversation of, will they replace Logan Sargeant? And so we're just going to leave that in here for you to hear our initial thoughts. Spoiler alert, we did not think it was going to happen, so we're very surprised, but thought it was an interesting conversation nonetheless to reflect on kind of how we were feeling before it. And then we'll talk in our recap more about how we feel after the fact and after this weekend. So here is the pre-Logan news conversation that we had. The thing that's floating around here that I want to put up for discussion is Logan getting replaced mid-season. So the name circulating right now, Liam Lawson, Mick Schumacher, his name has re-entered the arena. And then Kimi Antonelli was rumored that Toto ruled him out. So I think it's really between Liam and potentially Mick. What do you think about that?
If they're going to do it, like, why haven't they done it yet is my biggest question.
Yes.
You know, and right? Like, especially the summer break would have been the time to do that. I get they were giving him until the summer break. I know James has been really vocal about developing Logan and supporting him, which I think is wonderful. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's weird for me to say that because I'm always, you know, down for the drama, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But if they were going to do it, I would see Liam as an interesting option.
I have to agree. I feel like it's kind of expensive and a lot of overhead to replace a driver mid-season. And even though Logan is making mistakes, he's at a point where he can probably be pretty helpful for the development of the car. He's used to the team. The team is used to him. It feels a little bit like, I don't know if sunk cost is a nice way to put it, but it's almost like it's already been sunk cost this year. And to your point, like, if they were going to do it, they probably should have done it already. So I would be surprised. I mean, putting Mick back in the car when he hasn't been racing in F1 in ages. And I have to say, like, Mick wasn't the best option when he was in F1 originally. So would he really be that much bigger of a difference or that much better than Logan at this point? I don't know. He's done a lot of sim work, but outside of the that, only, Logan.
The only, no, they already have their driver lineup locked in for next year. So what's the point of them having a new driver?
I guess just mitigating the potential damage for the rest of the season, or
no, I don't think it makes
developing
sense.
Another driver, which could make sense from a Mick Schumacher perspective because the Mercedes Williams connection. But, and I know Toto has been pushing Mick, but unless there's an open seat for Mick on the grid, which there doesn't seem to be, it doesn't really make sense. And I think Helmut Marko was basically like, no, that's not a good idea for Liam as well. So, and Red Bull and Williams don't really have much of a connection. It's not like Williams would be like, sure, let's develop Liam for charity. You know, it doesn't.
Let's give Red Bull some charity. They really need it.
Yeah. So I agree. I feel like this feels unlikely, but I guess you never know.
You never know in F1.
Okay, now on to the rest of our Williams discussion. James Vowles, as he does, spoke openly in a video on Instagram about the mistakes last weekend in Zandvoort, which cost them potential points. So this was the Alex Floor debacle, having him DQ'd from quali, and then Logan's mistake crashing in practice and not being able to take place in quali. He told Sky that the amount that the new floor for Albon was off was fractions of a millimeter in one specific area, and that it basically could be fixed with a bit of sandpaper. But unfortunately in F1, fractions of a millimeter is all it takes. So a DQ is a DQ.
I can't even wrap my mind around how small of a distance or measurement that is.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's wild to me that these mistakes aren't made more often. I guess they're just so used to perfection and these types of tiny margins, but it's pretty crazy. Wow. James did say they have some upgrades coming during this back part of the season, and they hope to unlock more potential, of course. He also said that Monza tends to favor their car, so maybe we'll see some good things from them this weekend.
Okay, for Haas, the big news item here is their struggles off the track, including its cars and freight being impounded in the Netherlands. So after an arbitration hearing earlier this summer, Haas was ordered to repay their former title sponsor, Uralkali, $9 million after their deal ended due to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Uralkali said that they hadn't been paid by the July deadline, so they took action in the Dutch courts to seize Haas's assets. And this meant that Haas wasn't able to move its freight to Monza on Sunday night because of the court order, but payment was received on Monday, so Haas could leave. I can't even imagine the most stressful weekend for those people trying to move that money in time to get things going.
Apparently, it was going through like a Middle Eastern bank account, which didn't happen over the weekend. I don't know if it was for religious reasons or just like banks were closed, but finally it came through on Monday. But can you imagine just like not being able to move your stuff out of the track and your assets have literally been seized by the Dutch court?
It's also kind of crazy to leave a payment like that to the last minute.
Yeah,
like we would have sent it the minute we got the invoice.
No, you got to keep that interest, baby. $9 million is a lot.
That's true.
For Alpine, Gasly, as we talked about in our recap, definitely impressed in Zandvoort, hopefully feeling good about his new teammate, Jack Doohan, and hopefully they're on the up. They really did not start off well this season, and Ocon just seems to not be super stoked or excited about the car, the team situation, but we'll see how they end, and hopefully they're just both of them clean slate, Esteban at Haas, Gasly staying at Alpine with Jack, and go from there.
Very exciting. For stake, there's not really much to say about this team, unfortunately. Their Instagram caption after Zandvoort simply said, quote, high tire degradation and the track conditions made progress in today's race impossible. I mean, there was no track conditions. There was no rain. It was a pretty standard race. So I feel for them. But on the bright side, their social media content and videos continues to slay. Give that person a raise, whoever's running their social media account. It's been really fun to watch.
It's beautifully done. But yeah, that caption, I was sort of like, what does this mean? Wasn't every other team facing the same track conditions?
They should have just made it like a funny video instead and just continued to ride that wave.
Literally. All right, hot takes. I'm coming in so hot this weekend. I'm going with a Checo podium.
She was too stunned to speak.
She's speechless.
Okay, Tiggy, good luck, I guess. That's
good. Thank you. Red Bull's going to come back on the charge. Not that I necessarily am manifesting that, but
since you've done a pretty impossible hot take, I will also do one. I'm going to say both Ferraris on podium.
Okay, that feels possible. Tifosi energy. I like it.
Including a win. There we go.
Okay. I like that. This is hot. We're going hot. All right. With that, we will talk to you on the other side of Monza. We cannot wait for the race this weekend. Like we said, short and sweet. So buckle up and get ready for some good action. Constructors battle is all to play for. So we're excited.
Can't wait.